A great light is shining in the darkness. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations. By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. This is a passage from Isaiah 700 years before Jesus. It's a passage that's prophesying that a light was going to break forth in the lake area of Galilee north of Jerusalem, which really had been the area that had been first decimated and violently decimated or attacked by the Assyrians. And massive darkness had come in that area, and Isaiah is prophesying there's going to be an explosion of a great light that's going to come out of this area. And it happened. Up in Nazareth, this virgin was with child, and then Jesus is born, and then the ministry he starts in recruiting his disciples all happens in Capernaum, in that area, and a great light begins to manifest. My heart has been drawn in this season to this issue of light as contrasted to darkness. The phrases that stood out to me were, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and the people living in a land of deep darkness, an adjective is added to darkness, deep darkness, a light has dawned. Walking in darkness and living in deep darkness is how those living in Jesus' time were described, and I believe is how many can be described, not only outside the church, but even inside the church, as we all have moments of darkness that affect us at multiple levels. Obviously, darkness is an atmosphere with no illumination where reality is not seen. Darkness is the opposite of what God is. God is light, it'll say in 1 John. Darkness is that place of an atmosphere, a culture of no illumination, where there's a closed in and there's no clarity for reality and where things are. Darkness is a place of gloom, of distress, as it's talked about in the beginning of that story. And every one of us have had missions of darkness against us in our lives. I was telling last night, I'm completely shocked constantly of how early people are putting lights up. It's just, before Thanksgiving, people up in our area had lights on their houses, and I'm like, you freaks, it's just so early. It seems early that you don't celebrate the turkey with a light. Anyway, but the lights are coming up, and then they just increasingly came up all over our area in the deal, and it just really stood out to me how cool it is. I lit up my house in a corny way. I've got little penguins that are blown up in balloons and lights all over them, and I put lights up, and we went crazy on the lights this year because I was into the light thing, because I think it is kind of cool how we celebrate and we talk about Jesus being the light. He is the light, and he is what broke in to a planet full of darkness and began to manifest and bring his illumination. Darkness, I believe, and you know, affects our minds, our emotions, and our relationships, and our overall sense of reality. Darkness comes and clouds emotionally how we're feeling, mentally how we're thinking, and our relationships that are going on, because darkness is a fungus that's growing, and the enemy, Prince of Darkness, is just constantly propagating this thing of darkness. Darkness is what was attacked first in your Bible. I don't know if you remember that. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. 1:2, then the earth became dark and void and water was over it. Remember, it's just a mass crazy darkness that's going on all over the place. And then the first words from God in your Bible are Genesis 1:3. And God said what, everyone? Let there be light. And light pierces into the darkness, and he separates the darkness and calls it day, and I mean the light and calls it day, and the darkness and calls it night. And he divides those two things, and it was darkness that the Lord attacked first, because darkness had manifested in the earth. The first dark place, I believe, that ever happened in the created order happened in the heart of an angel. An angel, Ezekiel 28, had become proud of his own beauty, and he rose up in rebellion, and then he's cast to the earth, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, and the earth is dark, and God comes with a mission of light to pierce into that darkness to begin to set us free. The Lord did not say when he did this, let there be no more darkness. When he attacked and he came and He began to create order to chaos, which was what was there, chaos. He didn't say, remove the bad stuff. He didn't do that. He said, let there be light. Let there be light. He spoke into it. And I just want to encourage you today, before we pray for people that are walking in darkness or living in deep darkness, I want to encourage you in your walk in Christ to maybe stop spending so much time meditating on and trying to overcome the darkness in your life, trying to get darkness out of the way, because I don't think you're ever going to be successful at that. I really, really don't. Jesus will reveal to us that he is the light, that light is not just some kind of physical property that is the opposite of darkness, full of illumination, but it's a person. In John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I'm the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 1, 4, it says about Jesus, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. So everyone had been groping around in darkness, even our best guys and gals in the Old Testament. But the impartation of he who is life began to manifest, and that life becomes the light of men. And then it talks about the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness was pressing in on Jesus during his whole ministry. Sickness was around him, sin was around him, and then the darkest of dark thing came upon him, which was death. But the darkness pressed in on Jesus, I believe, at an emotional level, mental level, every level, but he overcame it, because light always overcomes darkness. That's just a law. In fact, just a silly illustration, but if you've got a dark room and you want that room not to be dark anymore, you do not go grab a bucket and then run into that room and start scooping darkness up and trying to pitch it out the window. You will never, ever win that way. That's not the way you do it. The way you get darkness out of a room is what? You flick on the light. You turn the light on, and then the light always overcomes the darkness. It's the way that God has designed things. So I'm encouraging you around your own personal struggles with darkness at a sin level, at an emotional level, at a feeling level. Listen, it's going to be really hard for you to overcome and scoop all the darkness out of your life. In fact, I don't even think the Lord's asking you to do that. I think what he's asking you to do is to flick on the light, to get your heart, by an act of your will and faith, focused on him who is the light. Because there is no darkness in your life, emotionally or sin habit or addiction, that can overcome the light that is Jesus Christ. So let's set our hearts and minds on Jesus, the light, instead of our darkness. Also, let's pray that the great light will shine on those walking in darkness and living in deep darkness. There's my simple little meditation.